If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Sharon R. Mitchell Jr. is with us, a Cook County public defender. What does this mean?
Not sure. Let me say this. This is actually a little bit scary, right? Because it's another step toward tyranny. And this is what I mean. A duly elected state legislator passed a law, passed in 2021. It was implemented in 2023, and there has been lots of signs of great success with this program, given that the previous process was really, really, really poor. The federal government has no ability to change what a state legislator does. So what Trump is doing with this order is basically saying, I'm going to create a list of states that are doing things that I don't like, and if they don't do the things that I like, I will intentionally starve them of federal resources until they bend the knee. That, aside from whatever this issue is incredibly scary. I think we can talk about why the policy has worked, but the idea that the federal government is now continuing to take steps like this should give people great concern when we're talking about our democracy.
Attorney General Pam Bondi must submit a list of jurisdictions that have, quote, substantially eliminated cash bail as a potential condition of pretrial release from custody for crimes that pose a clear threat to public safety in order within 30 days. So she will generate that list. You know, she is more than happy to do that. Illinois will be on that list. And there's, are you saying it really will have no effect, or will it end up in court?
I'm telling you, I have no idea what's going to happen. And I know as a lawyer, I should be able to tell you exactly what's happening. But what I can tell you is that there have been lots of extrajudicial and unconstitutional things that have been happening over the past few months. And quite frankly, the president makes threats. And sometimes he follows up on those threats. Sometimes he doesn't. So what I can tell you is that there are going to be lots of people that are going to be defending this change. What this change stood for is that we won't be using money to make these decisions, but we'll be using evaluations based upon the allegation and using what we know about the accused person and what we know about the circumstances to decide whether that person is going to remain in jail or not. So I can't tell you what the strategy of the federal government will be. This seems to be relatively clearly unconstitutional. The federal government doesn't have the authority to just order the states to do things when they haven't even alleged that they violate the law. So we will see what happens.
Sharon, tell me about how this works, because you're a public defender, one of the guys who would deal with the people who might have been in jail for a relatively minor offense but couldn't afford to post a bond, and they would sit in the jail, and now they're out. What's been your experience since then? Have they come back for court appearances? Have they fled?
Well, there are lots of studies that suggested that when you remove money as a condition for release, if that doesn't change the likelihood a person will return. Oftentimes, the money is not there. They rely on money from mothers or grandmothers or partners. But what this change was, and remember, the old system, people hate it. There were people on one side that said, listen, the jail population is too large. It's still people that are there, not because they've been deemed to be a safety risk, because they didn't have money. And there's a whole separate group of people that said, listen, there are all these people who are bonding out. They have access to money, but it's just because they have the money. It's not because a judge says they're safe to be released. So everybody hated the system from before, right? And we also knew that the hearings would take literally 37 seconds, right? There was a study done in 2016 that said these hearings took 37 seconds, and that we were just kind of coming up with numbers out of thin air. So what this system does, it attempts to make better decisions. Now, the policy did not hand out crystal balls, right? Sometimes you have situations where people are later found not guilty or have cases dismissed who were detained. Sometimes you have people who were released that get accused of new offenses. But that's really the exception to the rule. And certainly it's a better system than what we saw in the past, which literally people on all sides of the aisle really hated.
Many people called it a penalty on poverty, and those who could pay, those who were wealthy, were able to walk out. Were there any instances in the Chicago area that you know of since we eliminated cash bail where someone was held who could have bailed out, but the judge said, no, this person does present a clear and dangerous threat to this area, and we're not going to let them out?
Judges have to make difficult decisions every single day. And there are some decisions that the prosecutor doesn't like, and there's some decisions that the defense attorney doesn't like. But the reality of the situation is that the previous system, which basically just threw its hands up and said, if you got the money, you're out. If you don't got the money, you stay in. Nobody was comfortable with that. I can't impress upon this idea enough that these are really tough decisions and that judges don't have crystal balls. And there are instances where either side, you know, isn't happy with the decision. But it's a better process. The hearings are longer. They are more detailed. And quite frankly, what, you know, Trump is trying to do, saying, oh, you know, we need to keep murderers in. Well, the old system featured times where a person was accused of offense, and if they had the money, they were released. I think that the reality of the situation is that, I mean, Trump's actions here are far more about politics and far less about policy.
How many of your clients who are out because of the cashless bail system are accused of crimes that they since their release?
Can you ask that question one more time?
Sure, I'm sorry. The clients that you represent who are freed because of the cashless bail system, how many of them committed a crime or are accused of committing a crime because they were released and out during that time period? I might have come up twice short. Yeah. So if someone's released because of this new system, opponents say they're going to be free to commit crime. I'm asking you, how many of your clients have done that?
I think that there's a re-arrest rate somewhere around 8%. It depends on the type of offense. And again, we're talking about accusations, right? But I guess I just want to impress upon the idea that that happened in the old system too, right? The old system wasn't everybody got detained, right? This new system didn't like create the presumption of innocence. What this new system says is, we're not going to use money to make that termination. So people get held. People got held before. People got held after. It's just a matter of what are we using to make a determination about what should happen to that person during the pendency of their case.
And Sharon, how many states, like Illinois, have cashless bail programs?
So the federal system rarely uses money to make these determinations, right? So the federal system exists all over. New Jersey, in 2017, ended cash bail across the state. It's technically still in the books, but never happens based upon the structure of the law. And then you have individual jurisdictions that kind of do parts of it. But Illinois is the first state to basically say, we're never going to use money in this decision-making process. We're going to rely solely on the allegation, the evaluation of the client, and so on and so forth.
Interesting. All right. So really, the EO, if it was effective, would apply to us and possibly New Jersey?
Well, yes, but again, the EO doesn't ban states from doing it, and it doesn't really create a clear process for what happens. It just says, like, this list will be forwarded to the budget office. So,
right, again, they'll take away money, federal money.
Yeah, but it's also unclear whether that's even constitutional or not, right? So,
yeah, I get it. I get it. You know? And I get your frustration too, but we're up against news time, but I know you'll come back.
You did a great job of summing it up in 6 minutes or less.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate y'all. Y'all have a great day, okay?
Sharon R. Mitchell, Jr., Cook County Public Defender.